week in our book of Ephesians, we've been studying this, I think, what is this, part 8. And today we're going to explore chapter 6. That's the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. And as always, we've been encouraging you to get a Bible of your own, be reading it for yourself on your own. The Word of God is full of life.
Amen.
Jesus wants to speak to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you personally as you read the Word of God. Because what we teach here on Sunday sow seed into your heart, but it's going to get planted deeper as you just spend some time regularly every day in the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can show you some things personally about your own life and,
yes,
and lead you. And so last week in Ephesians 5, we saw how the Holy Spirit, you know, inspiring the Apostle Paul to write this word, how he laid out God's wisdom for the family and the intended roles for husbands and wives in the family. And we spoke about some things about mutual submission,
yes,
and how that works between husbands and wives,
yes,
and God's design for marriage that way. And we also talked about how when we pray and work in faith at following God's design for marriage, it will open the door for God to bring blessing and unity and oneness in your marriage. And we all need that. Anyone who's been married for very long would say, I need all the help I can get. Amen. I mean, anyone who's been married for any length of time, you know it does take, it'll take investment of prayer and faith and effort to learn to understand your spouse, to learn to understand your differences, how you're
a lot
like,
of forgiveness going on.
A lot of forgiveness, learning how to communicate openly and honestly with your spouse, and like you said, to offer love and forgiveness. If you want to have a godly and a satisfying and a long-lasting marriage, it will take investment.
Come on.
And the Holy Spirit helps us with this. We looked at that in chapter 5. So let's just remember this, too, that as Christians in faith, as we put Jesus in faith over our marriages, Lord over our marriages, his mercy and powerful grace is there to help us to make it through,
amen,
the stormy times and the good times and have more good times. And so in chapter 6, then, God continues on this whole design for authority and submission in the divine order of things. Because we saw in the first few chapters how Jesus is exalted as head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That God the Father exalted him as head over the church. And then under the church, you know, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And then we in the body of Christ have been exalted with him to the,
amen,
right hand of the Father.
There's a good place to say hallelujah.
Yeah. And then he continues to break it down into the church then and how this still functions. Because there is this hierarchy and order to things in God's design. And so he breaks it down. We saw in chapter 4, he said he gave gifts to the church, ministry gifts, fivefold ministry gifts. One of them being a pastor,
yes,
sets in place over a local flock to shepherd and guide and to teach the people. And so this is God's order of things. And then in chapter 5, we saw he breaks it down a little further. So, you know, then he goes to the family. He says the husbands are to be, of course, submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And
yes,
then they become head over their families. And then the wife is to submit to the husband in that order. And then he goes on, and we see in chapter 6, now it's children.
Yes.
So it just keeps, you could just see how the Lord has set this thing up and how it follows in order. So it's the divine picture of submission and order in the body of Christ. And so it brings security. It'll bring peace into our marriages. It'll bring,
yes,
peace into our family relationships. It'll bring harmony when we do it God's way. And it causes everybody, really, when we go this route, it's not a hindrance or a constriction. It actually promotes blossoming in our life.
Amen.
When we come under God's authority, it promotes growth as we live under God's authority and in unity. And so here's, we're going to read Ephesians 1, Ephesians 6, verse 1.
Yeah.
It starts out saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline in the counsel of the Lord.
That's a good word, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, this will be your first outline. Look on the outline. It says that, moms and dads, you are God's representative to your child.
Yeah.
You carry the number one influence for the heart of your child. Question then comes and says, what do you do? What is your home life like? You know, because what you do at home carries the greatest influence, and it's the greatest predictor of the outcome of your child. Whether or not they're going to desire to follow God through their teen years and then when they are released as a young adult. It's an awesome responsibility that we have as parents. It really is an awesome responsibility. This church is here to help you. We one half of our building's for kids. And like Jason said, they're being taught the Word of God in an age-relevant way. Ask your kids. Your kids love to come to this church. Some of you said, my kids drag me here. They don't care about you, but the kids, you know. But it is an awesome responsibility, and the church is coming alongside of you to bring about the fruit that's going to be pleasing to God. So let's take a look at verse 2 here. It says, honor your father, your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor is a forgotten virtue in this society. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. That's why your children have to be taught honor. How to give it. How to show it. They have to be taught this. And they have to be taught, why is it important? And the question comes again. Is it modeled in your marriage? What are the words going back and forth? Are they biting or are they building? Tuck that away. You know, listen, consider the family you grew up in. You might have not seen that example before you. And mostly, that does happen. But I'm asking you to pray and ask God to show you about honor. Let the Holy Spirit teach you about honor. There's some great stuff. John Bevere has something. It's called Honor's Reward. And you could probably find it on YouTube. It's an excellent teaching. So we need to show that to our children. We got to teach them this. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it is a way of life in the kingdom of God. And that's who we belong to. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so let's find it out here now on the earth so that when we are in that kingdom physically, when we have that new body, that we automatically know how to show honor.
Yeah.
We don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, do we? No. We belong there, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Let's go next to verse 4. Fathers, do not irritate, provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel of the Lord. Of course, both moms and dads are involved with teaching and training your children. It's not just dads. However, this specifically addresses a father simply because that is delegated authority through God himself. So what do we look at? You know, I mean, listen, men have a tendency to be kind of tough, straightforward, boom, 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 boom. And so therefore, the way we tell our kids something to do can actually be a hindrance. You know, it really can. We're not a commanding officer in the army with our kids. All right? Because if you deal with them all the time, there's going to be a resentment and a hidden anger in your child. And unfortunately, what happens then is then they are unable to express their feelings as an adult, or they express their feelings in an angry, attacking way. Parents, he who has ears, let's listen to that. Hey, look at that word. You know, fathers, do not irritate, but look at exasperate them. Exasperate. Circle that word. Or underline it. It means to pick on, rile up, get under their skin. Dads, I'm telling you, don't belittle your kids. Don't always fault find your kids. Hello. And don't rip them apart when you're trying to correct them. Because here's the great thing. Does God do that to you?
Yeah.
Does Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes and when he is correcting you, isn't it not gentle? He doesn't just, you know, all of a sudden, boom, blast you with this. No, he is gentle. He is patient in his instruction. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't irritate you. It's a tender style that he uses. So we need to do the same because we are to imitate God. You understand?
Yeah.
Verse chapter 5, be imitators of God. This is such a great book, Ephesians. We got to keep into it. Amen? You know, because the way you exhibit that, you want to exhibit the heart of Christ in it. Amen?
Right.
Because he's king and every knee is going to bow to him. And we need to learn how to bow to him first, right here and now. Because God's going to hold us responsible. He's going to look at us. He won't condemn us, but, you know, what we want to do is when we go to him and lay this out, we want to show them that we've done it a proper way. We've done it by the instruction of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's good news.
You know, you probably heard it said, and you know this, that our children are gifts from God. They belong to God.
Yes.
And I never understood this. When we first became parents, I wasn't familiar with scripture, so like everybody else, I say everybody else, but I think most people, you know, my thought was, well, yeah, I know my child's a blessing from God, but it was kind of just this cliche idea in my mind. I kind of looked at it like, well, thank you, God, for this child, and I now will just do my best to raise them, and hopefully I'll raise a decent human being. Because I didn't understand scripture, but then I discovered scripture that says your children do belong to God, and I can't just raise them the way I think is best, or what I feel like they should know, because Scripture in Proverbs 22 says, raise up a child in the way they should go. So there's God's intention and purpose for their life, and of course, which is the way they should go? They should know God, and then they should understand their purpose in life. And so God chose, you know, the other thing I began to see is how God chose Abraham. He's the father of our faith, and God, it says God chose him because he knew that he would teach his children to follow the same God that was revealed to Abraham.
Yes.
God chose him for that reason. That was that important for him. Now, this puts this scripture up on PowerPoint. It says, for I know him, this is from Genesis 18, verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. So this business of raising our children to know God is so important to the heart of God. And mm-hmm. So we, like Pastor Steve said, we're here to partner with you to help you to do that to the best that you can do it. Because we want to raise children that will go out into the world and be confident with who they are in Christ,
right,
and to glorify God and do something wonderful for his glory according to what he's designed them to do. And so then we come to these verses from 5 to 9, and these verses talk about a relationship really between bond servants to masters, okay, and a master's treatment of a servant.
Yeah.
And bond servants and slaves were common in the Roman society then when this was written. They were a significant part of the Roman society at the time. Many people had slaves, and there were slave owners, and many of them had become Christians. And so this issue of how does this relationship work now in light of our salvation, to deal with the bondservant relationship and the master relationship. So for our day, we might reread this and go, well, how does this really apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
I just skip over this as we read it. But let's read it in the context of an employer and an employee relationship, because that's really what this was like. A master owned the bondservant. So let's read this together. This is going to be up on PowerPoint. It's not on the outline. Servants, It says, servants, obey those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not serving when eyes are on you, but as pleasing men as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good any man does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is enslaved or free. And masters, do the same things for them, no longer threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him.
Beautiful.
And so what can we glean from this in our day and time? Well, I believe what Paul's encouraging here that we could see is responsibility and integrity for employees, you know, on the job. For one thing, to stay submitted to the person, to the employer. The lines, follow the lines of authority here. And this is on your outline as a fill in the blank. It said these verses are challenge the Christian employee to be known for their respectful attitude and a good work ethic. Because really what these verses are saying is you're not really just working for this person, the employer. You're God's over all of this.
Come on.
He's watching. You're doing your work unto the Lord, under the Lord's eyes. And I mean, the lament of employers these days is, where can I find a good employee? How many times have anybody, an employer here, might find themselves saying that? It's hard to find work. It's hard to find somebody who wants to work. And so Christian employees need to be an example in the workplace of some of the best workers with the best attitudes, right? Again, because we're not just working for this person. The Lord is watching it all.
Right.
The Lord is observing all of our attitude and all of it. And so it's not just I come to church and I have this church life and this attitude here, but when I get in the workplace, man, you know, I'm a different person.
Come on.
We want this, our life is supposed to be integrated.
Come on.
And so who we are in the church and who we are at home and who we are at work is an integrated person. And we know that, you know, God is over it all. And so we want to be pleasing to God, and we want to be good examples, have a respectful attitude.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a flow in this letter because it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul to a local church in Ephesus. And it's a letter written, if you look at and go through it, you're going to recognize God's design an intention for submission and authority within God's created order. Submission to authority is something that our flesh does not like. Husbands and wives, employers and employees, and all of us, children, listen to it. I mean, you don't have to teach them to be disobedient, do you? Hello, you don't have to teach them to be selfish, do you? It's the flesh. It's our flesh. But we inherited this dislike for submitting to authority from Adam, who didn't submit to God's authority. And Adam actually committed treason in the spirit realm against God because he listened to the voice of another, the serpent, a.k.a. Satan. And, of course, Satan refused to come under God's authority. Hello? He was created Lucifer, which means son of the morning. And that's what he was originally called. He was created as an archangel. All right?
Beautiful.
He lusted after power. He wanted to become his own authority. He said, this is the words he said, I will ascend to heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. And of course, God was listening to that. And God was not pleased. And so he answered, he said, no, you will be brought down and cast down to the ground out of heaven to Sheol. So the devil is now out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So the devil is here in this atmosphere and on this earth. Yeah. And his primary goal here is to scheme and deceive people, especially followers of Christ. Listen carefully. To resist God's ordained authority. on our outline. There's safety and protection by coming under the authority God has placed in our lives.
Amen.
Satan has infiltrated this rebellious thinking so much. Just look at the world, would you? Look at the world. It's like the rebels now are like rock stars. You know that's true.
Yeah.
And his this thought of rebellion against the order of God is actually also infiltrated the church. Yeah. People are blinded to it. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just,
it's important. We have to understand the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God. And if we're going to be pleasing to God, we must know how the kingdom operates.
And it has become so much a part of the culture in the world. So much dishonor and disrespect. And this whole thing of following, just coming under authority at all, becomes a stumbling block even in the church.
Yes.
In our development of our relationship with Christ. And, we see this as a pastor, the difficulty. We've walked through it as in our own lives. But, coming to the church, giving your life to Christ, finding purpose, get saved, family gets saved, marriage gets put back together, taught to read the Word of God. All the things that we say every week here and that we have done our best to do. Help you discover your gifts.
Yes.
Give you places to serve and develop, your gifts and see the purpose that God has for your life. And this is all fine and good. It's wonderful. And that's part of our mission. We say,
yep,
helping people to know God, find purpose. And this is part of experiencing life. It's like, I didn't know I had this in me. And the encouragement to grow and do these things for God. But the next important test in spiritual maturity is like right around the corner.
Yeah.
What is it? When God begins to just check your heart on this very thing about the order of the way God's put this together, just submission and authority. And I do mean like he checks you on submission to his delegated authority, because God's put these things into place for us to follow. And we've been saying this like in the book of Ephesians, again, Jesus is the head over the church. He's the head. He's supreme, right?
Yes.
So now we get saved.
Yes.
We must come under his authority. How do we do that? Well, we open up our Bible and to read. And whenever we see this word obedience, our attitude must change. We must conform and say, yes. It's like, yes, Master, I'll bow down
to you
and I'll obey.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, this is hard for our flesh. Because most of us, and especially out in the culture of the world, it's like, don't tell me what to do. I'll decide how to do it when I want to do it.
Especially in America.
Right. And so we come under, we teach, you must come under the authority of the Word of God. Otherwise, you're a rebellion. You're in rebellion against Jesus.
Right.
And so that's even a step in the direction of get a Bible, open it, and understand the sacredness of these words.
Hallelujah.
And who we are to follow. But that's not the end of the story. Even as a person begins to do that and says, yes, okay, I have my Bible, I'm going to come under Jesus' authority, we still aren't on islands unto ourselves.
Come on.
It's not as though I have my Bible, now I can just run and go do whatever I want to do. Because in Ephesians 4, and we looked at that, Christ gave gifts to the church. They're sometimes called fivefold ministry gifts, and the pastor is one of those. And a call of a pastor is to have a local flock of people to pastor. And the point of it with pastoring, and there's elders, and the Bible talks about elders in the church too, are like spiritual leaders. Sometimes a pastor is considered an elder. The words can sometimes be used simultaneously. But why are they there? They're there, Scripture says, for
right,
the maturing of the saints, to build it up in unity and love, to do the work of the ministry. And so you could see how this all just starts to come down into this, levels of submission and authority.
Everybody's exercising their gift, experiencing their gift, amazed that God has gifted you, and your gift is going to work, putting it work for the kingdom in the local church, and you're finding life in your serving. But there's a submission test just around the corner. We say this, because this is how the kingdom operates. We want you to understand how the kingdom operates. It's not loose and just free. It is free in submitting to the authority that God has placed here. Look what God wrote here in 1 Peter. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church. Give them due respect, yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourself, all of you, in humility toward one another, for God sets himself against the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pastor Mamie said it. We see how the kingdom operates. It's first of all, the church is submitted to Jesus Christ, and we are part of his body. And then we come under his authority. We submit to Christ. We submit our lives to Christ. He owns us by buying us through his sacrifice and his shed blood. Then there's submission to the authority in God's kingdom under the fivefold ministry gifts that he has. And those gifts are for your benefit. For your benefit. Look, we see it all over the world. God is asking us to be submitted to the government, the local government. He's asking us to be submitted in the workplace, employer stuff. This is all found in the book of Ephesians. We submit to the law enforcement. We submit to the authority in the military. Without submission to authority, you're going to have what? A breeding ground for confusion, disorder, chaos, rebellion. Take a look at the world. Turn on the TV. You see it. It's everywhere. Lawlessness, the Bible declares, is going to rise up everywhere. There's going to be a time where lawlessness will get rid of authority. And then the Antichrist will come and he will make order out of chows. That's their biggest name, biggest deal. If you study it out, that's a big thing, making order out of chows. They want to bring the chows so that they can come in and take over and bring order. And Scripture says lawlessness is going to get worse as the days go on. We're seeing it. And it's because there's a lack of submission everywhere. Amen?
Yeah.
And everybody, this is my truth. Come on.
Or your truth. I saw someone or your write truth. That
yeah,
the other day.
It was yeah.
like, well, I will respect you for your truth.
Yes.
And I thought, here we go, because everyone's going to have their pockets of truth, your truth, mm-hmm. your truth. And we could do whatever we want within our understanding of truth.
Yeah.
Friends, God rejects that kind of attitude when it comes to his body in the church. He despises it, actually, because it was Lucifer's prideful heart
Correct.
That caused him to rebel against God. God created him. God had every right to be his authority, and he rebelled against it, and he took one-third of the angels with him while he did it, which also brought chaos, and it eventually brought condemnation to him and the fallen angels.
Right.
And, when I think about God's picture to regain order in the kingdom of heaven, what God had to do, he would send his son.
Yeah, this is amazing.
But his son didn't just march in and say, I'm in charge here. Here's what we're going to do. God took it in the weakest way.
Yes.
It says, because Jesus stooped so low, that God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. That he took humility.
Yes.
It took humility and the willingness of Jesus to submit to the Father's will.
Come on.
That's where the power of the resurrection was born. Sometimes I think we think, well, Jesus was in the grave 3 days. God the Father just said, okay, that's it. That's enough. Boom, you're out of there. Raise you up from the dead. Well, there was power to do it. But there was an attitude and of a heart that was displayed in Christ that defeated the devil.
Hallelujah.
It was that weakness. In my weakest moment, God could come in and bring exaltation, even when I look the weakest. And so this attitude of submission and humility is actually beautiful to God.
Yes, it is.
To him, it says something wonderful and beautiful because it's a reflection of his son, Jesus. And humility, this is on our outline, humility and submission to authority is what gave Jesus his great power to overcome the devil.
Come on.
It was actually humility and submission in stooping that low. And if we're going to overcome the devil's schemes in our lives, we're going to have to walk the same path.
Amen.
Of humility and submission to the authority that God puts over our life. If we just buck and rebel at it, God's like going, you don't get it. You don't understand my son's heart yet.
Yes.
And so we've seen people, you know, we've seen this happen in the church. Come and go, just falling prey to Satan's schemes. Because it is Satan's schemes that does it.
Yep.
Satan just waits to whisper after things go well for a person for a while in a group of people. Then the whispering, I believe, just starts. Because this is just his tactic, his scheming. You can hear from God yourself. You don't need a pastor to help you understand the Word of God. Just go do your own thing. The pastor's holding you back. This place is holding you back. And people, off they go, depending on what they hear, what they perceive that they hear, and off they go. Mm-hmm. I've heard from God for myself. See y'all later. And it's interesting. It's interesting that often we want to hear. We want to hear wisdom. We want to hear pastoral wisdom. You come into a church when it has to do with helping to get saved and helping teach who you are in Christ and how to read a Bible and hear from God and
restore your family.
Yeah. Lead you to discover gifts, the things that we've just mentioned. Serve. Hey, you have potential, and you do.
Amen.
We have the potential of Christ within us. Here's how you pray. Here's how you resist the devil. And people start to grow and mature.
Yes.
But then when you want to begin to teach something about this other part of submission to authority, like, oh wait, this is also part of maturing.
Yes.
This is where it starts to get a little
tight. Right. This is where people get ruffled in themselves, you know, because, listen, maturity, God's way, is talking about spiritual brokenness.
Yeah.
Crucifying the flesh.
Yeah.
Submitting to God's delegated authority.
Yeah.
Submitting to God's timing. And see, he's going to do this. He's going to take you to places in your heart. So your heart's motivation is displayed to you through his glorious help. And it takes time to refine your heart motives. So therefore, God is always, you know, people don't want to hear this part. They say, no, you're preaching condemnation, Pastor. We're preaching kingdom of God. And if you get ruffled by it, well, maybe.
Hold tight.
Yeah.
Just buckle the seatbelt. Don't move. Just. It gets better.
Because this is, if you're going to step into leadership of the church, the key is that the motivation of your heart has to be exposed to you, and the Holy Ghost is doing you a favor.
That's right. Yeah.
And what has to happen is that, here we go, submitting to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because he's going to do what? He's going to purify your heart. Who wants that? I do. I want a purified heart. It's true. But Satan's right there whispering, saying, you don't have to listen to anybody but yourself.
Yeah.
Listen, the local church is likened to a family. It is a spiritual family.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And here's what happens. First comes childhood. You get born again, and you find out the things of God. And you start to grow. And then it becomes adolescence. Then teen years. Anyone raising a teenager in here? Yeah, we did. All of a sudden, mom and dad don't know anything. It's not true.
For some teens, that's right. There are exceptions to this.
There are exceptions, but most of the time, it's like comes down to a place is mom and dad don't have any wisdom. Yeah, you raised me. Yeah, you helped me go through my childhood and all that stuff. And you know what? You've provided for me. I've learned. I'm growing. Hey, I'm 14. I know how things work.
Right.
Ever hear it? Does it remind you? I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. Well, that sounds familiar. Where did it all come from? The fall in the garden when Adam chose to listen to another voice.
And you know how hard it can be when you're talking to, and we love our teenagers, but I mean, we all go through this, you know, how hard it can be sometimes when you sit and want to say, oh, wait, you know, I think you're missing a little piece here. It says, I want you to help you to see something here. Just stop, you know, before you take another step and go in that direction.
Yes.
In fact, I mean, and in light of just things in the church, the Holy Spirit will sometimes put a burden on our heart to pray for people in the church. It's like there's something, there's danger ahead, there's something not right ahead. It's just part of a burden. And if sometimes sharing that with a person, people can receive it. Sometimes people won't receive it.
Right.
Depending, you know, maybe, oh, no, Pastor, I've heard from God myself. I think you've misinterpreted what God is saying to you and that kind of thing. And I think, well, never mind then that a good thing to remember is it's been 25 or 30 years of learning to walk with God, learning to pray, hear from God, discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, looking at your own life and going, do I bear any good fruit in my life? We should all look at our lives and take a look at the fruit that we're bearing and go, okay, so some things are working okay here. But just studying, praying, listening, obeying in the hard places, learning how to follow, recognize God's ways, those are valuable.
Amen.
Those are valuable things that you learn along the way as you walk with God. In scriptures like Jeremiah 3:15, it says, I'll give you spiritual shepherds after my own heart in the final time who will feed you with knowledge and understanding and judgment. But if there's disregard for that and there's a lack of honor for how God put this whole thing together, lack of trust in the divine order of things, an unwillingness to hear.
Right.
And even understand this principle, because I don't think this is very often taught in a pulpit. We learned it in Bible school.
Yes.
And it was a big eye-opener, let me tell you. It's like, oh, my gosh.
A whole semester in submission and authority. Woo.
But when you begin to see it, how God worked it in our lives, and then you see it working in other people's lives, you want to stop people and say, wait, there's a bigger picture of how God grows us up. Okay. But often if people don't want to hear, it's just people walk away. They just walk away. We love you all, but see you later.
My friend, that's not really love, because it's rooted in subtle but real rebellion.
Yeah.
It causes division. It works more rebellion. It saps the church of power.
Yeah.
Because it breaks up the unity and the submission to authority.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're all going to be tested in this. I mean, that's why the church has lost so much power, to tell you the truth. And it's foolish to think that we're going to escape God's design and try to build a ministry on your own through this kind of rebellious attitude. You know, and the truth is, don't be deceived, because God will judge you. Holy Spirit teaching is showing us about the absolute authority, the need to understand submission to authority. It started 30 years ago for us. 30 years ago, God placed a book in our hands. It was written by Watchman Nee, a man in China. Really a pretty amazing book. It's called Spiritual Authority. I would recommend it to every single person. It opened our eyes to show how really rebellious we were to the authority God placed over us, and how we did not respect or honor the gifts that God put in front of us. It was our rebellion that came to light, and it was awesome. It was great to see.
it was awesome.
Pure heart is what we're after.
Yeah. And now looking back, you go, God, I thank you
for
putting that book in my hands, because we were tested in this over and over again, knowing that we were called into ministry.
Yep.
I mean, some of the major ones, these are just some of the highlights of the major ones at Bible school. You know, we wanted to attend a different church than the one that was connected to the church. It was just a personal preference. It's like, well, I'd rather go to that one than this one for personal reasons.
Yeah.
Many students did do that, but it was frowned upon by the church. And you can understand why. It's like, you came to school here, you should come under the authority of the entire church here.
Yes.
And I knew one day in a service, as we were worshiping in that church, I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to stay right here and get to serving and serve this church faithfully.
Yes. I'll tell you.
So we did.
We did.
I knew. I heard. I said, the Holy Spirit said, we are to stay here.
You know, after graduating Bible school here, I was ready to start church. Boom, right here, right now. It's a man thing, you know.
Coming back into town. We're going to take this city now.
I'm singing
Christ.
That song, take this city. But you know what the Holy Ghost said? He said to me, he says, go serve under another man's ministry and be faithful. Have the right attitude. I'll purify your heart. Then I'll give you a ministry of your own.
Yeah. We thought, well, maybe that'll be for a couple of years.
It was 10 years. 10 years. We did everything from the nursery all the way up, whatever there was a need. We did it. And I had a full-time job at the time. So it was almost like I was running my full-time job, and we really were a full-time job at this ministry. And we got a little stipend. I didn't care. We were doing what God has put in our heart as a gift. We're giving our life away.
We were thrilled to get experience in ministry. And then about 7 years into that time frame, Steve was asked to be on staff as a pastor full time, which was awesome.
I sold my business.
But for me, because we've been working in ministry like this.
Forever.
Ever since we went to Bible school together, graduated together, and we did that work during that time together. But they asked him to be the pastor on staff, and I was not asked to be anything, but just, if you want to come along, that's fine to come along. Yeah. But
she graduated the same
time I did. I was not a
pastor,
and I thought, wait a minute, did that ruffle my feathers? It did ruffle my feathers. I was hurt. I fought being offended and developing resentment on the inside. It was like, wait a minute, I graduated Bible school, what about me? I've been called. I've been faithfully serving alongside here. Don't I get any recognition for any of this? I knew because we had already read the spiritual authority book. The Holy Spirit would just remind me, and I thought, he's peeling off another layer of what I adapted to in the 70s with the women's liberation thing. Like, I need to be noticed here and come out. And it's like the Lord was like, your gift will make room for you. But I'm going to open the door when it's time. Mm-hmm. And really, the pastor at the church, the counsel to me was, you need to just raise your children. I had a child. Our daughter was in middle school.
Yep.
Son was in high school. It wasn't as though they were even little.
Pastor Ben, back here at the children's.
And I struggled with that in my heart at first, but I'm so glad I submitted to his counsel. Because I could have said, hey, pastor, or Steve, this church is holding me back. I'm just hitting walls here. God promised us a church, which he did. Supernaturally promised us a church in Butler.
Audible
we didn't know
voice.
The timing. So it was like, I think it's time. I think it's time we just take off from here. We've done all we can do here. But I knew that was not the Holy Spirit. And I knew he was saying, I'd be more pleased for you to just stoop low and humble yourself.
Amen.
Instead of launching out in pride and doing something just on your own.
Yep.
And so sooner or later, we're all going to be tested like this.
Come on.
However your, situation, we're tested around the same principle of humbling ourselves and coming really under the authority that God's designed for our lives. And we were led really to take a little bit more time in this message, specifically to bring out this truth this morning. It's kind of amazing that we were in Ephesians chapter 6
because it's really unfortunate that we have to mention this publicly, but there was an email and a letter attached that some of you might have received from a family that just recently left this church to start their own ministry. There's always sadness because we are a family, and you, as a pastor, pour your life into people to help them discover the gifts or whatever might be necessary, mend the marriage, There's always sadness when people leave the church. It hurts as a pastor. That's just part of the call of a pastor. You live with the sheep. You're the pastor. But no matter the circumstances, you really want to foster and get an understanding if you're leaving a church, and you want to leave a church with the blessing of the pastor. Last thing you want to do is sow seeds of discord and sow seeds of doubt that might pull people away from the church. We didn't receive the letter, neither did Pastor Ben and Amanda, but other people allowed us to read it. again, it's unfortunate we have to bring this up, but in light of protecting this church, because they went public with it without our knowledge, we felt that it was really, in a sense, necessary to bring this up to our church family. We will say we strongly disagree with the picture that they painted. We strongly disagree with many points they put in there and their perspective of what happened. Right. We completely disagree with it.
And let's just say this before we just move on, that there are always two sides to every story.
Yep.
I think it's wise for all of us to remember that. I mean, what would happen if pastors wrote a letter to everyone in the church when someone left the church and just did it, just said, well, I'm just going to inform the church of everything that I want to say about why I think this happened? What would you think?
Yeah,
I think most of us would go, what? That's not right. You shouldn't do that. And I think that's our point, that just sending out a letter like this, it's subtly encourages people to question, to doubt. If there's a sincerity about wanting unity and trust, this is really not the way to go about doing it. It's just not ethical. But these are things that you learn as you take time to mature, you take time to grow in the things of God, and honor just the local church, just honor the local church for the sake of really wanting unity among us. And so a letter like this doesn't really sow seeds of trust and unity. I think it's sowed more seeds of confusion.
Right.
So let's just say enough said on that.
We're running out of
and
time.
And he who has ears to hear,
you
let him hear. We really wanted to read verses 10 to 19, but maybe we don't have time.
Yeah, we really don't have time.
It's 22.
There's so much more in the book of Ephesians than we brought forward. We could redo it and have 12, 15, 20, 25, 30. I mean, you guys know.
Let's just say this, though. If you will read that on your own, those verses 10, you know, to the end of the chapter, basically it summarizes spiritual warfare. That and it really fits with even what we've been saying in this message, that people are not our enemy. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, which is all that same hierarchy
coming from Satan's schemes, who wants to split
and divide the church. And so we want to be people, what we wanted to say here, if I could just say it
quickly,
in the end, you know, we want to be people that are prepared and understand our enemy. That we want to be prepared for the fight. We want to understand what the armor of God is like, because we don't want to be caught unaware, like somebody walking through a parking lot and you're just da-da-da-da-da and somebody comes up behind you with a gun and you spin around and you're like, oh, I didn't expect this. We want to be people that are prepared and understand who the devil is, how he works in our life.
Right.
And the way we do that is through the Word of God. And I think I just want to close by even mentioning Pastor Jim and Pam DeMont, because when they come back, they're going to share a testimony of how God prepared them even for the greatest fight of their life. I mean, Pastor Jim went out for a walk one day, and
he died.
He fell over on the side of the road.
This guy was dead. Yeah. This gentleman was dead.
Pam gets
a witness inside. Something's wrong. She walks outside. There's two guys working on him. He's on the ground, and because Pam's incredible prayer, she immediately starts praying for that gentleman. Walks up there, finds out it's Jim. Go to the hospital, brain dead. They put him on all this machine to help him start up, kickstart his life. Nothing.
How long was he like that, Pam? Days-wise?
In the hospital.
Six days.
6 days. Thank God for the seventh day. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we're going to ask them to come back and share the testimony, because it's just so powerful of how God prepared them. I mean, they've been walking with God faithfully almost 40 years in the ministry. Yeah. So that alone is preparation. But Pastor Pam will share with you what the scripture that God put on her heart, even to be praying and having revelation about the resurrection power of Christ.
That's incredible.
And who would know that you would need to be ready with your armor and your helmet and the sword and the
what a battle,
a shield. Because when you enter into a fight, that's not whenever you want to go, oh, where's my helmet? Oh, how do I put on, gird myself with this, with the gospel of truth, and where's my sword? And
yeah, where's that scripture?
Was ready.
And this is what we're going to do, is prepare you for life to come.
Yeah.
Because listen, folks, it's going to get worse, because the Bible says it is going to get worse.
Yeah.
That's why we talk to you about the kingdom and how it operates.
Yeah.
Rank and file in the kingdom. Because rebellion against God's authority is really serious. And he takes it all the way down from husbands and wives to an employer. We can realize something here. We can grow in this. Amen?
Amen, yeah.
All of us can grow in it. We can grow in it.
We just want to praise God and give God glory, though, for this couple sitting here today.
Yeah, resurrection power.
Yeah. We're just looking forward to hearing the full testimony of it when you come back.
Come on, Jesus only spent 3 days. You took six. Let's bow our heads. This same Jesus that raised Jim up from the dead, he's alive, he's real. His word is true. And the Bible says, Jesus is the way, the only way. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. No man. And the devil's active right now. If you're not born again, you're going to just kind of feel uncomfortable, because you know what the Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict of sin. Convict of sin and of righteousness. There's a way for you to become righteous, and it's the blood of Jesus, by accepting that sacrifice on the cross. When you say yes, I recognize I'm a sinner. I've rebelled against God's authority in almost every area. But he's a merciful God. No matter what you've done, no matter how far away you are, even if you're dealing with the devil on a friendship basis and you're involved with the occult, Jesus can break you free. Every chain will fall. We read that. We sang that song. Every chain will fall. I was like that at one time. I was involved with shamanism, sorcery. But then I met the real power. The real power is Jesus Christ. I was, when he came, everything fell around me. Everything. It was like those crop circles. Everything was gone. All the demons left. Just because of his presence. That's power, friend. And he's after you. Jesus Christ is after you. Today's an opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity to break free from darkness. Come into the light. That's our job.
Yeah. Let's remember that he invites us to come to him.
Yes.
In love. He says, Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would find everlasting life. And so it's a call of love. It's a call of love. And if you left this earth today, if you died today, do you know that you're saved? Are you sure of your salvation? And if you're not, we just want to close the service by giving you an opportunity to just raise your hand. It's just a hand raised in faith, just saying, Jesus, I want to know you.
I want to break free from the darkness. I want to be a child of the living God.
I want my...
Anyone here? This is an opportunity. Okay. It's a real opportunity. Because you know the presence of God is here. hands came up, but I'm telling you, some should. You were embarrassed to do that, you know, after service? Come over to our prayer station and they will walk you through scripture and you'll find life in Jesus Christ. I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. In mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. We say to allow His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In His name, in His wonderful name.